Great. Well, thank you, David. And shalom, everyone. Nice to see you again. Well, we are continuing in our series of the priorities of the early church. And tonight's title is Christ Without Compromise. And we're going to look just as always, just to give us a wee bit of a launch pad, give us something to start from. We're going to look at Acts chapter 8 and just the first five verses. And then perhaps I'll briefly explain, if it's not obvious, what I mean by Christ without compromise. So before we read that passage, let's just pray together. Father, we lift your name high. Lord, your name is already magnified in the heavens. Father, we just want to magnify you in our own hearts and in our own minds right now. Father, we want to see an ever increasing, or we want to have an ever increasing understanding of who you are. And Father, we thank you that your word, you've given us your eternal word. And that eternal word tells us that itself, the word itself, is forever settled in the heavens. It also tells us that you watch over your word to perform it. Therefore, Father, we can have full confidence in what you have spoken, that you will do what you have said. So, Father, thank you that we can have complete confidence in your word and complete confidence in you as the one who underwrites the word. So, Lord, as we come this evening, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for every one of them. And I pray that together tonight we will seek you, and Father, you will make yourself known to each one of us. Father, our desire is to know you more. But Father, for us to know you, you must reveal yourself. So Father, as we seek you tonight, as we seek the truth of your word, as we seek the more knowledge of your word, Lord, would you in your mercy meet us? So Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you dwell in each one of us. Father, would you by your Spirit lead us into all truth, even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lovely. Oh, there's, hello, Rosalind. Nice to see you. Well, we are, as I said just a few minutes ago, we are looking at the priorities of the early church. In particular, tonight, we're thinking about Christ without compromise. And we're going to just read now Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Thank you. Thanks, Nigel, for putting that into the chat. So let me just read Acts chapter 8, 1 to 5. The immediately prior context is that Stephen, who we've been talking about over the last few weeks, Stephen has just been martyred. Chapter 8 picks up at verse 1, effectively immediately after Stephen's been martyred. So here it goes. And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Okay. So there's a few verses from Acts 8. As usual, let's just spend a few moments to give you a chance just to ponder those words and start to pray over them and see what God's saying to you. Asking the Lord to reveal something that he wants to say to you through them. We'll just wait for a few moments and then we'll come back together and begin our discussion. Okay, well, hopefully that's just given some time for you to start to gather some thoughts. I'm just going to give you some of the thoughts that I had, which directed me towards this passage. When I was reading it last week, I was particularly struck by verse 4. And I thought to myself, you know, if I had been one of these disciples, one of these followers of Jesus, and Saul was ravaging the church, he was hunting down Christians. They were target number one. He was going into house after house, storming his way in, dragging people off to prison. It says elsewhere in Acts that he was also killing Christians. He was also compelling them to blaspheme. He was going into synagogues as well. So there was all sorts of things happening. This wasn't just a little bit of mild persecution. This was pretty tough. So with all of that, it'd be very easy for us, as Christians, to say, oh, why are you allowing the enemy to win? Because I think perhaps it's just me, but I think if I was one of these people, I'd be very tempted just to be silent, to hide. But of course, that's what the enemy wants. You see, when this persecution arises, the Lord has obviously allowed it to happen. But there's two paths, or at least two paths, that we could follow. One is path of giving way to fear and being silent, hiding. The other path, which it looks like most of the disciples took, was they had an opposite view. They said, this is not a problem, this is an opportunity. So as they scattered throughout Samaria and Judea, they didn't think about being silent. They just saw this as an opportunity to further the name of Jesus. And it says, verse 4, therefore, I'm not sure the therefore could apply to me, because this is therefore. Because of all this is happening, therefore, those who'd been scattered went about preaching. The Bible says, therefore, they went about preaching the word. And then we get an example in verse 5 where Philip went to Samaria and began proclaiming Christ. Christ without compromise. Wherever they went, whatever the problem, Jesus was proclaimed. And it's something I'd like us just to consider tonight. I see where the Lord takes us, but just to think about, well, we could think about a few things, but perhaps I think it's always good to try and put ourselves in their shoes and think, how would we feel? What might be going through our minds? How might we rationalize this? How might we decide what we should do? What factors would be in our minds? What would we be weighing up? Those sorts of things. So I'm just going to pause there and just open the floor for anyone who wants to comment. Malcolm.
Yeah, reading verse 4, as you said, I just came to mind was there's a verse in the Old Testament somewhere, and I can't for the life of me think where it is, but probably Kings or Chronicles, where somebody put the branch to the nose, which, as you probably know, means doing that. And I could just imagine that's what God was doing. All right, you persecutors, we'll go everywhere and spread it everywhere.
Yeah, I just love their attitude. You know, it's, well, you know, we just get the high level picture here, but I'm sure in the flesh they had some fears, but it did not seem to stop them from spreading the good news. And, you know, there is a kind of approach where you can say, you know what, the enemy wants me to be fearful. I'm going to do the opposite. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think this seems to be Stephen's death because he was the first martyr. It seemed to be an absolute catalyst. For them to then start spreading, and the kingdom starting to really get going. And I think if somebody that you love had been killed like that, wouldn't you want to go for it? I mean, I just think they were so filled with the Holy Spirit that they just went for it, you know. And I think I can really get how they just wanted to completely go for it. Mm. They have nothing to lose, really. They've already, like, given their lives to Jesus. They wanted to see his kingdom, and they wanted... And look what happened, all the miracles and, you know, stuff. So I just think that, you know, it was a catalyst, and they went for it. And it really started to spread then, the kingdom. Yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I think, you know, they'd obviously been very successful in Jerusalem up to this point. There was over 5,000 disciples by this stage. So yes, it's starting to spread. Well, I suppose at the day of Pentecost, I suppose it spread a little bit across the world, but it was now starting to move out. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. Anybody else want to comment?
I suppose there is a thought that the church maybe had lost sight of Jesus' command to go into Judea, starting at Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria. Because it's interesting, he mentions Samaria in the very next verse, doesn't he? Luke's making a point. There's divisions in the book of Acts that Luke uses a literary device, and the word of God increased, and that, you know, something happens and the word of God increases. He that comes several times in Acts, and he's moving us on here. So possibly had the church just become a little bit too settled and comfortable in Jerusalem, and they needed a reminder to actually go and do what Jesus had told them to do.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. Verse 2 tells us the apostles stayed where they were, but the rest went. Very interesting.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
And we come back to that point later. Maureen?
Well, I was going to say something very similar, where my Bible, it says, that very day the church in Jerusalem began to suffer cruel persecution.
Mm.
And that's spurred them on to spread the word. When they were suffering and saw the suffering,
yeah,
it made them stand up and do something.
Yeah. We know from earlier chapters in Acts that they had a very different view of suffering to perhaps me and maybe some of you. In the fact that when they were persecuted, they rejoiced. They saw it as being, as they were counted worthy of suffering for the sake of his name. They saw it as an honor and a privilege. And that shows a different mindset to perhaps some of us, maybe not all.
It makes you want to reach out.
Mm. Makes me realize just how powerful the name of Jesus is.
Yeah.
That the enemy would want to create such fear as to hinder us. Any other comments, questions?
It's all about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? What's her name? Elizabeth was saying about being filled with the Holy Spirit and then you're on fire. But when you're dry, when you need to be refilled, then that's when we lack, when we are ineffective. Because it's not in and of ourselves, is it?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Rosalind, because when we read Barry's subject about Christ without compromise, initially you kind of think, but it's also our life without the uncompromising Christ. So it feels like that's a really hard work, but actually it's also we've got the uncompromising Christ with us. It's like tremendous resources of the cross available to us in the Holy Spirit. It's like we're all in, then he's all in for us. There's tremendously exciting possibilities. I was a bit hard on Barry last week or the week before about this thing about we need to. But I do find a lot of earnest preaching very dispiriting, because being told I need to do this and I need to do that. And I try very hard to kind of listen to preachers and take on board what they say, but really, if we read what the Word of God says, it's tremendously encouraging, because what it's saying is we can do these things that preachers encourage us to do, because God is saying he's available to us to do these things with the resources that he's putting in our in our bank account. And so it's not so much that we need to do them, but which of course we do, but we've been given the resources to do them. And if only our eyes, if we can raise our sights, then we can see this is a possibility. This is something that is within our capability, because we've got Almighty God who can give us the vision and the resources to achieve that vision. And I just find the, you know, the and also when we fall down, which we inevitably do, and I'm, you know, the longer I go on, the more, you know, chief of sinners is something that I would claim as a title for myself. But the Lord understands that, and he says, yes, but I'm still going to fill you with my Spirit, and I'm still going to use you, and I'm still going to bless others through you. And that acknowledging of your sinfulness is part of what qualifies you for this wonderful journey with me. So it's okay. It really is okay that you kind of feel inadequate to the task. In fact, that's part of what it makes you suited for the job. I was looking, Barry, at Colossians 3, this, what makes us, what was going on in Acts. Paul says, if then you've been raised with Christ, I'm reading from the Amplified, to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Mm. It's like a totally different vista that we're looking at. And then, you know, we mustn't stop there, because there's so, you know, we must keep reading, because there's real keys, absolute keys, that about what we need to do. We need to put things to death. Mm. We need to put things off and put things on. Mm. And there's real keys, really important keys about what we need to put off.
Mm.
Because, boy, we certainly put them on in the flesh every day. Mm. And we need the Holy Spirit's help to sort of put those things to death, because we recognize them. We all recognize them. If we read on, you know, the lists in that Colossians 3 passage are so familiar to us, but Paul recognized them. We recognize them. The Holy Spirit knows, because Jesus has lived as a human being. He knows these things are just normal for us. And so it's not a surprise when we fail, when we fall down. And he says, right, this is what the blood of Jesus is for. Pick yourself up. Keep going. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ without compromise.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. He who sits on the throne, as I said a few minutes ago, behold, I am making all things new. He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. That reminds me of Isaiah 55. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Hallelujah, Lord. You're offering every one of us, Lord. We're thirsty. We're desperate for you, Lord. if we are in a desperate place, where perhaps we feel that the suffering is relentless, Lord, we remind ourselves of the temporary, fleeting nature of this world, and what you're storing up for us in heaven is an inheritance which does not fade, which does not perish, which does not become defiled. It's reserved in heaven for us who are protected by the power of God through faith. Oh, Father, I pray that the hope of the gospel would dawn in Carl's eyes and heart and mind this evening. She would see beyond the suffering and the pain. She would see the light, the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as she walks toward the light, would she receive that wine and milk without money and without cost? And Father, we know that just because it's without cost does not mean it's cheap. Father, it is priceless, because it's been paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Father God, I just ask you now very simply, please, will you uphold Maureen and encourage her now, right now, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Psalm 32. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place, and you will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we praise you and we rejoice in your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're going to do in Carol's life. Lord, we believe by faith. Lord, you say where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst. And we know, Lord, we trust that you are here and that you hear our prayers. Lord, we pray that while forgotten her name, the lady that's on the phone, that Lord, as she speaks to Carol, Lord, I pray that you would minister through her, and that Lord, in your time, that you would bring Carol, this dear soul, Lord, into your kingdom to know you. Oh Lord, I just come behind all the prayers, Lord, that have been lifted up for this dear lady. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, because you've overcome, Lord, and all your ways are perfect. And Lord, we just lift your name and rejoice in you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, Lord. And we just all thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm. Good Lord.
Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. We pray that you'd open Carol's eyes and unblock her ears so she can hear the message of your salvation. And we pray for each one of us, Lord, help us to see more and to hear more of the wonder of who you are and your great love for us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, towards the end of chapter 55 of Isaiah, Lord, that we've read just a few minutes ago, it says you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Lord, I pray that that would be Carl's testimony this evening. She would go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. You are the God who sees. Thank you, Lord. Well, there are further words here from Isaiah 55, which are striking me. It's perhaps relevant for Carol. It says, behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and the nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Father, may that be true of Carl this evening. for the sake of your holy name.
Amen. And Father God, may you be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, may any of the plans from Satan that he has for Carol come to nothing in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you had a divine appointment with Maureen, with Carol. And I just pray that you will anoint Maureen's mouth to say the words that you want her to say, Lord God. And you've gone before her, and I pray Maureen will just have complete peace knowing that you have the situation under control. And I just pray, Lord God, that when Carol gets off the phone, she'll feel 100% better because she's met with the living God. I pray, Lord God, that you will just give her such a divine encounter that she will have the best night's sleep she's ever had tonight, Lord. And I just pray that hope that Maureen spoke of, which is you, Carol will receive, Lord. I just pray that you will renew her mind. I pray you'll take the scales from her eyes and the veil from her heart to let her know that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's no other God before you, no other God above you. And Lord, I just pray that Carol will wake up tomorrow feeling so much better, and the world will look so much brighter, Lord. And I just pray that you'll strengthen Maureen's friendship with her if you wish them to spend more time together. But if it's just a season where she's having a few phone calls, Lord, then please help her to find the right Christians to nourish her walk with you and to help her learn more about you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that the seed will be deeply sown and that she'll be placed in a church near her, which will encourage her and build her up and just grow that hope in you, Lord God. I just pray that she will just be in a family, because she must feel so isolated and lonely and numb probably after losing people she loves so much and so dearly. So Lord, please fill that void like only you can do, and your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. I just pray that you'll really touch Carol and just anoint Maureen, Lord, and give them both a lovely good night's sleep. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We've come to the time of our usual close. However, I can see Maureen is not yet finished. So perhaps some of you may want to remain on the line. I don't know how long she's going to be. It may be another while. But if you feel led to stay behind to perhaps speak to Maureen, she comes off the phone, then feel free. For the rest of us, for those of us who perhaps have been called elsewhere, then perhaps we'll be able to get an update from Maureen next time, Lord willing. So for those of us who need to go elsewhere, as the Lord is calling us, then shalom. Thank you for your contributions and your prayers. The Lord has directed us this evening according to his will. And we thank you for being able to adapt to what the Lord was wanting us to talk about and pray about. And we just continue to pray. Please just continue to pray for Maureen if you go offline. And Lord willing, we'll get an update next time. So shalom, everyone. And thank you.
And especially for Maureen's operation this Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lise. Thank you.